Continue with our message. Thank you all for helping out, by the way. I see two of my children. I'm sure the third one's around somewhere. All right. Well, one thing you may or may not know about me is that originally I'm from the state of Missouri. And I say it Missouri usually, although sometimes I get that Missouri. And if you're from Missouri, you know how big a deal that is, okay? If you head west from here, you head right through that state that keeps putting its governors in jail, you'll get to Missouri, where I grew up. Although our last one wasn't too good, so, oh well. As I was reading this week's scripture passage, as I was reflecting upon it, I kept thinking about Missouri, because this week's scripture reading is all about proof, actually. You may or may not know this. It's on our license plates. The unofficial state nickname of Missouri is, anyone know? The Show Me State. Thanks. You guys know that. Even two states away. And the idea behind that nickname is, I think that we Missourians, you know, we don't just believe anything you tell us. We've got to have some proof before we believe you. If you want me to believe what you're saying, well, then you've got to show me. All right? And this nickname comes from an old saying that goes, I'm from Missouri, so you'll have to show me. And you know, we're not actually really sure where that phrase comes from. One story out there, and the better story, in my thought, is that there was a Missouri state representative named Willard Duncan Van Diver. That's a great name, isn't it? Willard Duncan Van Diver, he made this phrase popular in a speech in 1899. He was expressing this desire for proof and plain talk, good Missouri things, when he declared this. He said, I come from a state that raises corn and cotton and cockleburrs and Democrats. And frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I am from Missouri. You will have to show me. There's another story that's a little less complimentary, and it goes this way. Once upon a time, there was the town of Leadville, Colorado. It was a lead mining town, and at some point, there was a strike in the mid-1890s, and when the strike had been going on for some time, the mine owner imported workers from southeast Missouri, because there's a lot of lead mines in that area, too. And the mine bosses quickly found their imported workers did not know Colorado mining methods. And so the men needed frequent and repeated instructions in their work, and the saying among these mine bosses became, that man is from Missouri, you'll have to show him. It's a little less complimentary. We Missourians choose to believe the more complimentary story, by the way. But regardless, I bring this up because that attitude, well, you've got to show me, you've got to prove it. That helps us to understand what's happening in our scripture reading today. And the story so far is that the disciples, Peter and John, were walking through Jerusalem one day. This is what we talked about last week. They were going up to the temple, and they encountered a beggar there, a man who couldn't walk, and he had been that way since birth. The man asked Peter and John for just a few coins, and instead of giving the man money, they healed him. He said, Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And the man did, and it was this amazing miracle. We talked about that last week. Well, today we see what happened next, because this miracle had happened in a very public place. It was the temple itself, the gate to the temple. And because a great many people believed as a result, we read that the number of people who believed, or the number of men who believed actually, just the men, had grown to 5,000. And so presumably they had wives and children as well. So this early Christian movement is growing quite a bit. So the religious leaders of Jerusalem, they just couldn't ignore this healing. And so Peter and John were arrested and taken to stand before the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law. And what these rulers ask is kind of remarkable when you think about it. We read, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or name did you do this? And what's most striking about that question is that these rulers, they just didn't believe everything that Peter and John have been saying already. Peter and John have taken every opportunity to tell everyone by what power or name they did that healing. I mean, after all, when Peter healed the man, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then the reason why the rulers had Peter and John arrested and brought to answer them was because the disciples were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead, as we saw in the second verse of our reading today. And so there's no secret here. Peter and John have been saying who they serve. There's no question over whose power is responsible for that healing. And so the rulers ask Peter and John because they simply don't believe them. You know, we have the same problem today often. And this problem is not just for us as Christians. It's kind of a problem in our society. Today it seems that we just don't believe people. Our words are no longer worth much. We don't trust what people say. And it's amazing kind of just how deeply this mistrust has penetrated in our society. You can think, for example, I say the words fake news, and you know how much time people have spent talking about this. You know how much time on the radio, on TV, how many inches of newsprint have been devoted to this topic. You can think, too, about our leaders, politicians, public leaders, and how much time we spend fact-checking them because we don't necessarily trust what they say. Those are pretty obvious examples, but there's more than that, too. You know, if you think about it culturally, think about even the medical profession. How many people are turning away from kind of established medical professionals and seeking alternative therapies, alternative practitioners, because they don't totally trust their doctors to know what's good for them, to present all sides of the story. Think about how many people are homeschooling children more and more today. That's on the rise because people trust less and less public schools. You can think about many other things. In so many ways, we simply don't trust the people and the institutions that we used to. And now, to be sure, sometimes it's good to check. Sometimes it's good to check. We want to get accurate information from our politicians and leaders. And I know lots of people who got a second opinion from a doctor, and that turned out to be a great thing because it really helped them. Or, it seems like today we have kind of a default distrust. It's good to check sometimes, but we have kind of this default distrust of people around us. And it affects not just our society, but it affects our church as well. Because how do we share the word of God when people just don't trust the words that we have to say? Thanks. Thanks. Where was I? Sometimes it's good to check. So how do we share the word of God when people just don't trust the words we say? Well, this is the same problem that we see in Scripture. The religious leaders simply don't trust what Peter and John are telling them. And so what do they do? What do they say? Well, Peter, in Scripture, well, the first thing he does is he simply repeats himself. You know, Peter doesn't beg or plead for their understanding. Peter doesn't actually look for new words. Peter doesn't back off from what he's been teaching. No, instead, Peter, he simply repeats himself. And we read this, that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And so Peter repeats himself. And he repeats himself because he knows the difficulty here isn't that he wasn't clear the first time. The difficulty isn't that he didn't say it well. Peter knows that these leaders simply chose not to believe what he was saying. But Peter also knows that he's not just relying upon his own words here. This is the other part. Peter isn't just relying upon his own words. Peter knows that, in fact, he doesn't actually have to do the work of proving the things that he is saying. That's not his job. Peter's job here is just to say the words, to say what God has given him to say, because somebody else has done the work of proving them. We can go back to Scripture, and we read that when they are the religious leaders, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So the leaders are astonished. Peter and John are fishermen, and they are not used to seeing fishermen, men like that, speak with power and eloquence like Peter did that day. And not only did Peter speak well, but he said some very challenging things to these leaders. He said, "You crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead." He said, "You rejected Jesus, but God made him the cornerstone." He said, "You trust your identity as a descendant of Abraham, but Jesus is the name by which you must be saved. And so these leaders are astonished. It's what Peter said and how he said it, but there's a bigger reason why they were astonished. Verse 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Peter is making big claims here, but he doesn't have to prove these things because the proof is standing right next to him. And these leaders couldn't argue with the fact that this man, whom they all knew and whom had been unable to walk since birth, he was now standing before them. Here's the proof. Now let me ask, who provided the proof of what Peter said that day? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't John standing next to him. It wasn't even the man who was walking. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit acted and a man was healed. And the people of Jerusalem were given a testimony through that act. That healing, that act actually testified to the truth. So through this healing, the Holy Spirit testified that Peter's message was true. Through this healing, the Holy Spirit testified also that Jesus really is the Son of God, because it's in his name the healing is made. It's through this healing, the Holy Spirit testified that Jesus is the only name under heaven by which we are saved. And it's pretty simple, actually. When the problem is that people don't trust the words you say, what can you do? Well, you give them proof. You provide some proof. And when it comes to God's word, who gives the proof? It's God. God provides the proof. So Jesus came into the world to provide the proof for us that God loves us and wants us to be reconciled to him. God wants us to know him. And Jesus died on the cross for you and for me to forgive our sins. And he rose again from the dead to prove that we have forgiveness. We have reconciliation with God in heaven, and we have healing in his name. And both in that day and today, in this day also, the acts of the Holy Spirit provide all the proof we need to trust in the word of God. And we understand that even with proof, though, people don't always respond to the good news of Jesus Christ the way that we would hope. People don't always respond to this good news and receive the forgiveness and healing that Jesus gives. And it's sad, really, even, that what we see in the scripture reading, even being witnesses of this mighty act of the Holy Spirit, this healing, the religious leaders don't accept the proof that's standing right there in front of their eyes, because they can't say anything, but then they send Peter and John away and they turn to talk to each other and they say, what are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem, knows they have performed a notable sign, and we can't deny it. The proof is there. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. We can't deny, they're saying, that this amazing healing has happened, but let's put a stop to it. How sad is that? And so it is today. Even with the abundance of proof we have in history, we have the testimony of Scripture, we have the testimony of the life of the church throughout the years, people around us still choose not to believe. They still want more proof. So today, the Holy Spirit provides the proof of Jesus' love and forgiveness. Yes, in Scripture, yes, through what Jesus did then, but he also provides this proof as the Holy Spirit lives within you and me today. Today, you and I, we love our neighbor. Today, you and I, we serve our neighbor as the Holy Spirit moves us to. And so let me encourage you today to let that Holy Spirit work. Because you and I, we probably can't walk up to a man and say something like, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I mean, maybe. That'd be really cool if it did. But probably most of us haven't done that. Let me know if you have, okay? We probably can't do that today. But we can show the love and healing of Jesus Christ in other ways. When you sit and listen with compassion to a family member who is hurting and just needs to talk, that's the Holy Spirit working in you and through you, giving proof of the love of Christ that's within you. Or when you reach out to a neighbor who just needs a little help, maybe they need help keeping up their home, maybe they need help with something in their life, and you help them, that's the Holy Spirit acting through you, shaping you to love your neighbor. When you help out someone who's struggling with a physical illness or injury, that's the Holy Spirit working through you. Or when you encounter someone who struggles with mental health problems and you treat them with respect and compassion, that's the Holy Spirit working. No matter the opportunity, no matter the person, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to serve another, that's the Holy Spirit acting. And that's the Holy Spirit testifying saying something through you. The Holy Spirit is testifying to the love and forgiveness of Jesus, which you have received and which resides in you now. Let me ask you for a moment, too. Let me ask you to imagine, just imagine something. You know, we know our culture is not always friendly to Christianity. We know that Christians, if you watch TV shows, watch movies, we're sometimes seen as condescending. We're sometimes seen as holier than thou. I mean, you've got those stereotypes in your mind. We're sometimes seen as closed-minded or bigoted. You know that today we need to offer a lot of proof to people to say that we are not these things. But imagine what could happen when a person who wants to believe that we are maybe condescending or holier than thou, imagine that person and imagine that we actually go and we meet them, and then they see us standing there with all those people whom we have loved. And they see people with stories of heartache and brokenness and sin, but they also have, they see people with us who also have stories of loving acceptance and real aid and restoration in Jesus Christ. And you can imagine that word, since they could see the one who had been accepted standing among them, those opponents could say nothing. And hopefully even those opponents would even experience the love of Jesus Christ too. And imagine what could happen when a person really wants to believe that we as Christians, we're closed-minded or we're bigoted, but then we actually go and we meet them and they see standing with us all those people whom we have loved. And they see people with us who have stories too of being the outsider, stories of being left out or left behind, but then they also have stories of loving care, empathy. They have stories of belonging and identity found in Jesus Christ. And you can imagine those same words. Since they could see the one who had been welcomed standing there with them, the opponents could say nothing. And maybe those opponents would even also experience the love of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit acts today through you and through me, and these acts testify to the truth that Jesus loves us, that Jesus forgives us, that Jesus welcomes us as we are, but he also heals and restores us, and he leaves us better than he found us. And Jesus never, ever leaves us and goes away. You and I are the proof. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.